Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. And I'm so glad to be bringing it back with this special episode with Van Bogstad, because nobody goes into property for the love of admin, and Van is our hero. Van is the founder of Coho Property Management Software, recently acquired GoTenant, creator of the HMO Awards, and very excitingly, he's launching a competitor to Spare Room this summer. So, Van, welcome to the show.
Hiya, it's really good to be on here.
Yeah, it's phenomenal to have you on. I've actually wanted to do this for some time. Let me just say a few words about how we met each other, which is so unusual for a software company, because you started up a few years ago and got in touch with a lot of us and connected from there. And then you started up the HMO Awards, which has been such a phenomenal event and really changed the face of property events in the UK. And not only that, we've also had the Man of Mind event, where is it 40 property entrepreneurs, HMO focused, all get together in the Manor and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's just it. You've got to have some fun on the way.
Yeah, and so what I think is really important about what you're doing is not only the technology of it, but the community of it. And you've built a really strong community there, Van.
Yeah, I mean, it was always quite intentional. The whole view of this was that HMOs have a bad reputation generally. Mm-hmm. I think it's completely unfounded. I mean, it's not unfounded, and it's definitely not completely unfounded, but I think that HMOs are actually the biggest chance of us solving the housing crisis and easing up on the cost of living. And also, if we look at kind of young people and mental health, helping all that side with loneliness as well. So whilst the reputation it isn't completely unfounded, I think that it's not recognized enough for what it can do to the world. And part of trying to make that recognized by more people is creating more of a community within HMOs. So the people who are the most forward thinking, doing really interesting things, they can all come together and share those ideas. And also me, as someone who knows kind of comparatively nothing compared to people like you and Nikki and all the other people, especially those who go to the Man of Mind, I can just sort of sit there in the same room and learn, which normally I probably wouldn't be invited to if I hadn't hired the mansion myself.
Yeah, well, that is key, what you've just said there, Van. You want to sit in a room with other HMO property investors and learn. And what you've done over these years is you've learned so much, and you've brought that into Coho. And Nikki and I and HMO Heaven is transferring as we speak over to Coho. And I did not think we would ever do this, because we have been with Arthur for many years. But I think it's fair to say, and without being unfair to anybody, Arthur has not moved with the times, listened to customers. And I think that they will admit they're not there for, you know, smaller investors. That's not where they want to put their focus. And so to be able to come over to Coho and find it so user-friendly that you actually know all the things and you've got everything there. Because one of the things that's very terrifying for a beginner, HMO, self-manager, or letting agent beginner, is systemizing and having that systemized process. So I'd love us if you could talk to us about how Coho can help with, you know, creating that systemization.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you read these business books, you kind of often hear that kind of term, like, what's your business's superpower? And I think for us, it's always been that we're really, really good at building products. We are kind of, me as one of the founders, I'm a developer, my co-founder is a developer, another one of my co-founders is a developer. Our head of product ran a huge co-living company, also a developer. So it's kind of like, in the team, we just have the ability to try to understand what the problems are and then build it. And like, when you run a tech company, like, in Arthur's defense, product development is so expensive and so difficult and so time consuming, unless pretty much everyone in the company who has like a high level, a high role in the company, has the ability to build it, in which case it's actually really fun, because we get to speak to people like you, and off the back of a conversation, we come up with some amazing features. So yeah, like, our approach to it has always been, I mean, a lot of people know this, I'm not from the property industry. I was a tenant in an HMO who had a really, really good experience. And what I wanted to recreate was, basically, off the back of conversations I had with my landlord, the processes he put in place, the processes that I was kind of subjected to in quite a good way, I wanted to kind of create those to be available for everybody. So our approach to product development has been quite different to a lot of companies, where we've kind of started with a completely blank slate with the view of, like, what's the end experience? And then spoke to people like you and all the other, like, really, like, great, like, thought leaders in the space to try to understand what you need. And you mentioned at the start how we met and how I met a lot of other people. I actually sent probably about 30, 40 messages out to select people way before we even had a product. So it wasn't a case of selling. It's just like, here's an idea, here's some things. So off the back of that, we've just been problem solving and problem solving and problem solving. It's kind of like, people would say something like the onboarding of a new tenancy is clunky. Or we'd look at someone's process and it's like emails back and forth. And it's kind of like, right, can you go over and fill in this Google form about some information? Then this referencing company is going to get in touch with you. And then you have to go over to DocuSign and sign something. And then I'm going to email you all of this. And all of this is happening across between emails, phone, and WhatsApp. So we looked at that from like a user's perspective and wanted to see, can we make it like super smooth for the user, for the tenant, for the manager, for the manager's team. So I mean, that's just one of the things that we did, and I guess we just didn't stop.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I, you know, I recognize straight away the user friendliness, much more user friendly than the system that we were using. However, I didn't want to move because of the upheaval and all of the time investing in moving my system. Well, I did want to move and I didn't want to move. However, it's just been so, so good. You made it impossible, Fab, not to move. And so Nikki, who is closer to that side of things than I am, has been really impressed with the system, the software, and the fact that it takes away some of our processes. So some of our initial onboarding processes we did before the person hit Arthur. Mm-hmm. Now the entire process, even from advertising the room, will be all taking place within Coho. And that's just a boon for anyone here setting up a rent-to-rent business because you don't need to have your processes now in place. You just need to have Coho.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. Like, it's one of the biggest challenges we have is trying to get people to move to the software, just because for the most part, moving from one thing to another is usually kind of only slightly different, maybe some slight improvements. And then there's almost kind of better the devil you know at times. And I'd also say, although we've like got decent brand presence, we aren't very good at saying what Coho can do to people. So for most people, they kind of look at it and see it as a sort of like for like, it maybe looks slightly nicer. And a lot of our users kind of end up taking a bit of a leap of faith, but we lose so few that move over. I think it's just because, like, when they get on there, they realize it's... In fact, one thing that stood out to me in a conversation I had with a Meta exec is he said, the challenge we'll have with marketing is that we haven't built a slight iteration upon what people know. We've built kind of a whole evolution of what should happen. So it's kind of getting people to understand, like, this is a whole new, really cool set of processes that you can introduce to systemize in one smooth go, instead of like, okay, here's what you did on this software and here's the equivalent here, and here's what you did and here's the equivalent. So yeah, we've that's always going to be a challenge we'll have with marketing. But like last month, we did 3 times more new business than we did in our greatest ever month, which was the month before. So I think people are starting to sort of realize now.
People are starting to realize, in people like me, you took a long time to to get there. But it's head and shoulders above. And what people don't realize, perhaps, is it's exactly as I say. Instead of you having to codify and systemize and write down all your processes, you just get Coco. Coco is the process. You can now have, you know, a VA in the Philippines help you with your HMO administration, and really make it that sort of seamless, more hands-free business in terms of the online administration with Coco.
Yeah, and the secret bit behind everything we're doing, which you kind of alluded to at the start, is where my passion really is making HMOs like the sort of default choice for people in their, let's say, early 20s, mid 20s, or divorcees. Mm. And not a lot of people know this, but actually the reason we've built the software is because we want to create competition in the marketplace for listings. Like, at the moment, you have one place where you can go to find a professional let, or where you can go to find tenants. And we just always saw it as, that's just not good for anybody apart from the market leader in the space. But even then, I mean, innovation, like, you need competition for innovation.
Yeah.
So my view to things was, when I was a tenant, I had like the best experience. It was such a great time. And actually, I found the place on Gumtree, weirdly, if that even exists now. But I found the place on Gumtree, and it was sort of listed as from the tenant's perspective, and talked all about who lives in the property. So for me, it was about selling that lifestyle side of it. And my reason for moving was basically, I was living at my mom and dad's. I was fine for money. I could have moved out on my own. I looked at a couple of places that could be options, but I just didn't really want to live on my own. I wanted to sort of live with people that I could get on with and have fun with. And the listing that I saw was literally that. It was like, it was, here's everyone in the house, and here's kind of their ages and what they're into. And that made me really excited to move. Mm. And that is something that I think is really missing. And I think a lot of people running HMOs, they might or they might not care about that. And the not caring about it, I think, is a result of kind of basically no one's choosing to live in HMOs. They're usually kind of living in them because they can't afford something else. But that's missing out on so many people who would choose to live in HMOs. Like, I asked my nephew, who's 22, it's like, would you rather live with a group of your friends, or would you rather live on your own? And he's like, I'd definitely choose to live with a group of my friends. And it's like, okay, how about if they're not your friends yet, but you're going to get on with them? He's like, 100%. But how about if you may or may not, you don't know until you get in there whether you're going to like them or not. And it's like, no, probably not. So what we've always wanted to create was that same experience that I had, where before someone moves in, they can hopefully be sold on their lifestyle. And to cut a really long story short, the way we find out enough about the property and the tenants is by building a really good property management system to make it really easy to manage your properties, and ask the tenants if they want to offer up some information about themselves. And as a result, we can then create what will be a really modern marketplace to find tenants that shows actually who's in the property, which I think is really exciting.
It is, and it works so well, because having seen your system, and people, the housemates do actually use it and put their photos and what their interests are onto the system. So when you go and look at a certain room in a house, you can see who's in the other rooms in a really nice way. Sort of like, maybe not you wouldn't say a Facebook, but they've certainly got some of their details and their personality has come through, and you can really choose between, you know, who you think you're a good fit with and who not. And yeah,
I think by doing this, I think we're going to start to open up the market a lot more away from just people who can't afford to live on their own, but to people who actually can afford it. They'll be really good tenants. They just want to live with people they're going to get on with. So
yeah,
I'm quite excited for like what this has the potential to do to the industry. But I mean, it's always scary going up against a huge marketplace dominant leader.
Yeah, well, I think those of us who've been in the marketplace using spare room for many years have found that really the prices have gone up significantly over that period. And as you say, yeah, they are the only ones in the market. So I'm definitely here, and I'm sure many listeners are here to support you as you do this, because I think it is important that we do see competition, you know, in this marketplace, because I think that makes it better for all of us, for us as, you know, buyers of the service, and also for the housemates who are looking for properties as well.
Yeah. I think that's something that we're going to hopefully start to launch this summer. So
yeah,
but I mean, the one downside will be for everybody else, it's kind of initially sort of only available to people on Koho. Just because otherwise, how'd you get your property on there? You know, that it will be opened up to other people. But yeah, if you want to be part of the revolution, please come along.
Yeah, and the other thing that people get when they join up to Koho is that they become part of your community. And that involves a lot of different things. I've talked about the Man of Mind event, but I know that you also have your own show as well, Van, where you, Helen interviews people and talks to them about their HMO businesses. And there are lots of other, you know, there's lots of online community as well as some in-person community. So tell us a little bit more about the community aspect of things that people get.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about earlier, there's so much knowledge in the HMO space, but it's kind of in pockets. Like in the traditional agents, there's like three on every high street or more, probably a lot more. And they're all competing with each other. And I don't want to sort of like put anything down, but running singlets is a lot easier than running HMOs, like significantly easier. And it's been done for ages. Like it's been done since houses began, I imagine. Whereas HMOs, it's a lot more nascent. People are still learning. And there's usually only a handful of decent property managers and investors in each city. And they're all having to basically learn on their own or from a few thought leaders like yourself. And we kind of we sort of, as a business, if we're going to look at it from a selfish perspective, we identify that as a risk in a sense, because lots of people doing their own thing, there's no consistency. Like what do we build if everyone's doing something different? So we really wanted to sort of create a community where, like the Man of Mind, for example, at that Man of Mind, in the roundtable debates, there was people managing I think it was 9,600 rooms between them, and like all sharing the problems, all sharing what's working well. And like they're all learnings that could take someone individually a year or two to get those learnings. But like off the back of that, we've got a really good WhatsApp group where, you know, people who are really like at the top of the game, they're coming in with questions and they've got other people giving answers. And those sorts of community things, like our Discord has 500 people in it, like those sorts of community things are things that we just want to keep pushing, because we think one of the ways that we're going to sort of make HMOs explode is by all the people that are running them and managing them, like being able to be at the top of their game, learn from each other. And I think that's a really nice thing in the industry in general. It's a lot more collaborative than maybe some others, because I think there's a view that, like, especially in this sort of space, a rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And the other exciting thing that we have coming up very soon is the HMO Awards fan. And that was a game changer last year. And many of the listeners here came along. But I'd love you to give us some teasers about what's going to be happening this year.
Yeah, so the first event went really well, considering we're not an events company. I think that's kind of why it goes well. We don't need to, this isn't kind of our annual how we make our money sort of thing. This is purely a let's have some fun, let's learn, let's meet all the people, bring everyone to one place. So for those who hadn't seen last year's, it was like a really cool venue. It was where Richard Branson went to boarding school. So like an amazing venue. And we had really good speakers. And this year we're upping it. We're having even more great speakers. And an exclusive announcement right now for the podcast. Stephanie has agreed to give a talk at the awards. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm sure that's going to be a completely packed room.
Yeah. And what I love about your talks, Van, because let's face it, listening to long list of speakers, it can get dull, but you've got the TEDx style of speakers where it's within a 20-minute period with a few key takeaways. And last year I learned so much, but it also was really an exciting pace where people were dashing back and forth, which speakers am I going for? And it was so engaging and not at all like some of the dull events that we've all been to before.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite easy to get death by PowerPoint at times with a sort of 40-minute to an hour long presentation. And usually in those presentations, there's some really, really interesting things. Mm-hmm. But like, there's usually only sort of three or four really, really interesting things. So my brief to all the speakers has been take those three or four things and fit it into like 12 minutes. If you can do that, brilliant. If you can fit it into 4 minutes, brilliant. Like if someone can learn all they need to learn in 10 seconds, absolutely amazing. but I think that kind of 15-minute, 20-minute sort of presentation is, it's a nice amount of time to be able to say who you are and deliver like hard-hitting knowledge to people who can go away and improve the business. But one of the things I really liked last year was after the event, about a month or two after, somebody approached me and said that they'd heard this kind of co-living sort of side of things, which a little side avenue. I'm a fan of co-living, but I think it's misunderstood. Like, I don't think it's having to do £200,000 refurbs. I think it's just kind of having an intentional view that there are people living together and like, you know, the service you offer will keep people there, keep them happier, keep them paying on time. Anyway, and that's really like what the talks were sort of delivering at the awards. And yeah, he said that off the back of that, he realized like just how big an opportunity there is by instead of kind of having a bit of a race to the bottom, lowering rents, lowering the amount you're spending on modernizing the property. Instead, if you start to improve on service, actually the rents can get higher and the, you know, the profitability of these properties can go higher. And this person approached a number of their landlords and got buy-in from a few of them to really like reverse their trend as well.
No, that is the what I love about the community. The insights, the little insights that make a huge difference, but also it's great fun. People really did let their hair down last year, and it was great fun. There was a food truck. That was a novel kind of approach to things with really yeah. tasty food.
I think we as a company just generally, I say, like to do things differently. I think it's more that we generally don't start from the position of what do people do, how do we improve on it. It's more like I'm personally not a massive fan of award events because I feel like I look like a bell end in a tuxedo and I don't feel comfortable the whole time. And the food can be really nice or it can be fine. Whereas what I like is that festival vibe. So we got live music, food trucks, And the live music, like stuff like that's cool, because often with these things, you go to a website and you search corporate band things. But our approach instead was to go to Instagram and look for people who were just like good musicians who were actually quite eager to play somewhere. So that was a nice difference for me.
So let's give all the info, because we've said it's a Richard Branson school, which is Stowe House, which people may not know. So give people the rundown about the info and the date and anything else that they'll need to know to be able to go and grab their tickets.
So the event's on the 31st of May. It's an all-day event. So I think it starts at like 12 o'clock with the talks. Don't get put off by the awards section of it. It takes like 40 minutes to an hour of the event. But to be honest, it's quite a nice, it's a really nice theatre that it's done in. So yeah, it's a full day event. There should be 14 talks across two different stages. Really good networking. Like last year, last event, it was like all the leading people in HMOs were there in the room. It's in Stowe in Buckinghamshire. So it's kind of like central to everybody, essentially, is what we're trying to go for. And yeah, the tickets are available now. And I think in terms of ticket pricing, like it's 14 talks, awards, networking, live music, street food, which is all included, a bar. And the tickets are, I think, 250. So hopefully that's considered reasonable value.
It's exceptional value. And we stayed at a local hotel and your boss picked us up last year. I'm guessing something similar will be happening this year.
We put buses on to make sure everyone can get there easily enough as well.
Yeah. No, so I'm really looking forward to that, Van. And I just want to thank you and your team for your dedication in really, really going for it with this HMO software management. You've not just gone in as a normal HMO software company, distant, you know, minding your own business. You've really gone out into the HMO community and found out what we need, and you are delivering it. I, you know, HMO landlords are not known for getting excited about things, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to say this because when I get imposter syndrome, but I'm genuinely trying to build a sort of like £1 billion company in the UK, which there haven't been many so far. But I think this really is scope for the same thing to happen to shared living that happened to serviced accommodation. Like Airbnb came along and changed boring holiday lets that you find in a newspaper that like some people do, but most people just stay in hotels. They changed that to make it so we're actually like staying in a serviced accommodation, staying in a spare room or something like that became the normal way for people to do things. And it just took that catalyst. There's loads of passionate people in the industry building the product, but it just took a catalyst to make it possible and to make it kind of accessible to all of the people. That's what we're trying to do, essentially. So like, we're not going to do that by just building some software and sitting and hoping. Like, we really have to go all out. We have to try and address the reputational issues, try and bring everyone together, literally do anything we can to support the growth of the industry.
Great. So thank you so much for coming on and joining us. And I know if you're listening and watching and you're interested in HMOs, if you're already managing HMOs, if you own HMOs, if you're starting a rent-to-rent, this is definitely the event for you. So go along to hmoawards.com. Of course, Nikki and I and members of our community will be there, as well as the who's who of the HMO world. And as well, if you come to the event, that's one thing. But also do check out Coho, see what all the fuss is about, see what's been getting landlords and investors excited about this software. Not something we're usually excited about. But what I'm very excited about is the idea that now you no longer need to codify your systems yourself. Everything is done for you in Coho. You buy that software and you've got your processes, because it takes you through the onboarding process and everything you need to do to onboard your tenant and so on. So it really is a game changer. You've come on leaps and bounds, even since you were already ahead at the beginning. And in the short time, you've come on leaps and bounds and taken on a huge amount of investment as well, Van.
Yeah, we have. though I'm not someone who loves taking on loads of investments. So my view is if we can do it without, that's even better. But I mean, the really nice thing for us has been a majority of that investment has come from our users, which has been a really nice kind of, it's kind of a bit of affirmation on what we're doing, because I don't like to go out and ask people either. So the fact people have actually asked us has been really nice. But I guess that's just like, you know, at the moment, what Coho can do is replace communications on WhatsApp, give you a place for all of your maintenance to be done, the onboarding. Like, the compliance is a really big issue, just because, especially in HMOs, like, the government are just fining because there's so many people who are doing it badly, almost intentionally, and the good people are just getting caught up in that. So that, you know, the compliance is really good. Some of the nice little features, like just tracking tenant opinion, because a tenant won't tell you the house is completely messy until they're close to wanting to leave, but like, we sort of prod them to find out those things on a monthly basis and then deliver that to you as information that you can act on as a kind of stitch in time. It's just loads of those little things that we've built to try to basically just to try to make it as profitable and time saving for you as possible.
And it humanizes it as well, because if you've not, you know, you might want to do a questionnaire or a survey, and it might be one of those things that gets pushed off. But if it's happening automatically within your software, then for me as the housemate now, seeing, oh, they're asking, how am I getting on? What's the property like? Have I got anything that wants to be improved? And that's happening without me as the property manager needing to do anything. That's just so valuable. And that's one of many things that, you know, really impressed Nikki, and you've just got the zero integration coming on as well.
Yeah, the zero integration's now in beta, and the feedback from our beta testers has been really, really good so far. I think we'll be possibly, we'll have to see, one of possibly the only person with a zero integration by the end of the summer, but we'll see.
Yes, oh yes, because you acquired GoTenant, who we used to talk about as well.
Yeah. So we acquired GoTenant, and actually they, yeah. So there's three companies that have a zero integration. I won't mention the third, but GoTenant. Everyone's moving over to Coho on there. Not everyone, obviously, but a vast, vast majority so far has absolutely overwhelmed us with how fast they've moved. I think that'll be really useful to people when we launch it.
Yeah, it will. But thank you for taking the time to come on, Van. It's been a pleasure to speak to you today, and you know what you've created is just phenomenal. We're excited in HMO Heaven to be transferring over to Coho and be part of the Coho family. We've sort of been distant family for a while now. You know, we've enjoyed attending your awards, being part of the community, attending the Man of Mind, getting to know the other investors within that. It's just been great getting to know you personally, and I've really appreciated, you know, your support with recently, you know, I've been ill, and you've given me lots of tips and help and support there. And I think that is what your community is about, Van. It's not just providing an exceptional service and creating this massive company. It's also about being there for people. And I think we've really valued that in the time that we've known you.
I really appreciate that. I think, you know, with this, there's ways that we can all make money, and we only live once. So I think you have to kind of do it in a way that you enjoy, that is personable, that kind of that you can make genuine connections. I think that's what life's about. It's making the real connections with people, whether they're using the software or not. You know, I might send someone a joking, nasty text message if they're not using Coho. But deep down, I still like them.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, Van, we're drawing to the close. We're drawing to a close now. Is there anything else that you wanted to share today that I haven't asked you about, or that you want to end on?
No, but if anyone wants to connect with me, by all means, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. Oh, one thing we might start doing soon, which I'm excited about, is we're probably sitting on like the most thorough and interesting data in the HMO space that people have kept asking us, like, asking us things about it. Like I was asked the other day, what's the average return of a rent-to-rent deal in a certain area? And it's actually like, those are the sort of bits of information that we can anonymize, you know, our tens of thousands of rooms and work out. So we might start to look at some of those things over the coming months, you know, how tenant trends are changing. So, yeah.
Oh, very, very exciting. I can't wait to see some of that data coming out. And if you've been listening and you think, what is this Coho? I need to have a look at this software. Then you can go to renttorentsuccess.com/Coho, C-O-H-O, and check it out there. Or if you can join us on the 31st of May, even 2024, in person at the HMO Awards, go to hmoawards.com. It'll be amazing, as it always is. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Man. I'm going to say hi because I'm very shy.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for watching and for listening. Thank you, Van, for joining us and sharing all the goodness about Coho. And I will see you all again next week.
Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent-to-rent HMO book and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.